Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, and shalom. This is the day that Jehovah has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, let everything that has breath praise Jehovah. He is worthy of all the praise. It's good to be here one more time with you again. And I'm grateful for all who chose to tune in on Crown Talk and Drums Radio. This is a subsidiary of Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for adding this time to your schedule. I give Jehovah the praise. If you're tuning in live, it's early Sunday morning, the 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time hour, April 21st. I tell you, time is ticking right on into the future. It never stops. It means we don't have time to waste. Yes, we're starting another week. I tell you, and I thank you, Jehovah. I praise you for even giving us another chance to right any wrong. We woke up today. He didn't have to wake us up. I'm glad he did. I believe you are too. Regardless to what's going on, there's nothing too hard for our Elohim. He is, and I just want to say glory to him. He is the almighty creator of heaven and earth. Thanking him for a great and gracious rising morning. This is a gracious rising morning, a morning filled with his new mercies. Glory to the King. He's the almighty creator of you and me. Woo, he's worthy of all praise. Let everything that have breath praise Elohim, praise Jehovah. I just want to take the time to say welcome to For Such a Time as This radio broadcast hour. My name is Sarepta Cunningham, and I thank Elohim that he's given me this opportunity. Can't thank him enough, can't praise him enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, it still wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough for you either. That's how good our Elohim, our God is. He is good all the time, and all the time he's good. And that's not just a cliche, that's just the truth. Oh yes, amen, amen. I tell you, I'm just grateful to be able to encourage someone else and myself, because when I'm encouraging you, I'm encouraging me. Oh yes, I need encouragement. We all need encouragement to make it on this journey. While we're walking this walk, talking this talk, living this life, we need encouragement. And the good thing is, because there's so much bad going on around us, the good thing is we got his good news to encourage with. That's the blessing, because his good news never changes. It remains the same because he never changes, and he's his truth. Amen. I just love the truth, because we know the truth, and I know the truth. It's come to set man free. I want to be free. I want to stay free. And anytime he shows me an area in my life where I'm bound, I want him to set me free. That's what the truth does. It brings the evil, any evil that's in us, it brings it to light. What a blessing. Sometimes we don't want to see the mess that's in us. I'm glad he's showing me the mess that's in me. Regardless of how long we've been walking on this journey, we will never rise until we hear him say, well done. I'm living to hear that, and I believe you are too. I'm just so glad you tuned in today. We're going to talk about this truth that helps us to grow up. Yeah, we need to grow up. He tells us to come up higher. I believe he's calling us up higher. Yeah, he don't want us to stay on the same level. We shouldn't be where we were at this time last year in him. He wants to bring us up. The only way we're there is because that's the choice we made, not to come up, not to obey him, wherever we've been disobedient at. And that's what sin is. Sin is just transgression against the law, anything or doing anything that's keeping us bound, to keep us from walking in obedience to our Heavenly Father. And His word and His truth is what shines the light on that disobedience. It shines the light to help us to see where we are. I want to know where I am. Don't you? I believe you do. I believe I heard some yeses out there and some amens. Oh, glory to the King. Whew. Our Elohim, our God, He so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I'm glad about that. Yeshua, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who was sent as the Savior of the world. Not just you and me, but He came as the Savior to the entire world. Whether He's accepted or not, we know He's not across the regions. He's not. There's other gods that are being worshipped. There's idols that's being worshipped. But the Almighty Creator, Elohim Himself, that's the God I serve. Yes. That's why I'm not ashamed of His name. I have grown to have great respect for His names. And I want to call Him by His name. You're going to hear me reference Him by His name. Amen. I'm just glad that the Yeshua, that the Messiah shed His blood for the remission of my sin, for the remission of your sin. That's the only way we're going to make it back to the Creator. That's the only way to get back in. No more shedding of the blood of the animals. That ultimate sacrifice and the shedding of the blood of Yeshua the Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach, if you want to say it that way. But it's Yeshua the Messiah. That's how I'm going to refer to His name. Talking about Jesus. He's Yeshua. That's His name. Oh, yes. And I'm not ashamed of it. I tell you, we got a lot going on around us in this world, and even the weather is fickle. I know we had a storm on last night this way, and close by region in South Carolina, I was sent some pictures from one of the congregants at HOI. They had hail. Looked like perfect little round balls that looked like they was just dumped out of, you know, that little ice that's in the little round balls that come. Some people like getting it out of the machine, the crushed ice. Some of it's like smooth. It looked like smooth little round balls. It was like the perfect round balls. I was amazed. So, and then some tornadoes touched down somewhere in South Carolina. I just got the tail end of that piece of news last night. I didn't really watch it, but the world is fickle, the weather is fickle, everything is fickle, but I tell you what's constant and not ever changing. Yes, we've already talked about that. We've already mentioned the word. Our Elohim, He's consistent, always remains the same. That's why we have to put our trust in Him, learn to trust Him every step of the way, every mile of this journey. We need Him every step. I know I do. I can't make it without Him. I need Him in my life. That's why with all this going on, the strange weather, the mess that's going on in the political arena and all the things going on with the young people just disrespected. I saw one of the parents yesterday with a belt in her hand. She was ready to go after her 10-year-old daughter. She was stomping around in the middle. I said, uh-oh, mama get ready to pull out the rod. We had a little conversation after the service on yesterday. It was just something to even see that still taking place. Because a lot of times you see the children telling the parents what to do nowadays. That's so sad. The script is flipped in that area. But I was so glad to see one of the mothers ready to spare that rod. She wouldn't let it rip. But she didn't have to. That daughter quickly lined it up. Oh, man. I was just so happy to see that. I tell you, it's just so much going on, but this word, you know, this word of truth has the final say, and that's what we're going to stand on, and that's what we're going to live by, and that's what we're going to go by. I know that's what I'm going to live by. I'm going to be obedient fully. I don't want to be half-stepping when it comes to this word. I don't want to be living a double life, saying one thing, doing another, and living another way. I don't want to do that. I want to be a sweet-smelling aroma to the nostrils of my Father. And I believe you do, too. That's why you're listening today. That's why you joined in today. And I'm just glad we're here. I'm glad that we have the breath of our almighty Creator going through our lungs. We're breathing in his air. This is not our air. This is the air of our great Elohim. He's supplying us everything that we need, even the breath that we're breathing that we so many times take for granted. Thank you, Father. We just praise you and we bless you, because if there's ever a time for encouragement in the kingdom, we need kingdom encouragement. We have to encourage one another as saints, as the set apart ones of the Most High. If we don't encourage one another and encourage ourselves at times when there's no one else, when there's no one else around to encourage us, you better be like David. Encourage yourself in Jehovah. Encourage yourself in what his word says. I tell you, if we didn't have this word to encourage us and to encourage one another, we wouldn't be able to go out and encourage others either. We wouldn't be able to go out and be those witnesses that we're called to be. We're called to go out and compel men, women, boys, and girls to come into this faith, to share the good news, the gospel of Yeshua Messiah. I tell you, I just love it. Every opportunity we get, we need to seize that opportunity. So if ever there was a time for kingdom encouragement, that time is now. So I hope you come with your ears spiritually, your spiritual ears, to hear. Hear in the realm of the spirit. See, we walk by the spirit. That's how we're learning to walk daily, by the spirit. So we won't feel the lust of this flesh, because we got a war going on, the flesh with the spirit. But I tell you, that's why we have to come with our spiritual ears open to hear and our spiritual eyes to see, so we can see what's really going on in this world and what's going on in our immediate circle, what's right around us. We have to know those who labor among us, who we're around when we go out and about, even in our home. We have to know what spirit is indwelling with us, because sometimes some strange spirit try to pop off in the house, and we got to take authority over that mess in the name of Yeshua. I'm telling you, I'm just a little excited this morning, but I'm just grateful that we're here. And as followers of Yeshua, Messiah, and the truth that he taught from his Father, our great Elohim, our great God, Elohim, that's who he is. We can continue to go forth being those effective kingdom citizens that the Most High has ordained. He's anointed. He's appointed us to be in him. So I just speak his shalom, and we're going to have a brief word of prayer. I have talked enough. Let's talk about some good news. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. It's brand new. You let us see it. You woke us up to breathe your air, and we thank you. We thank you. Can't praise you enough. This is the day, yeah, that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for granting us a new day of your mercy. For you say every day is a day of new mercies. Well, we're not going to get what we may deserve. Great is your faithfulness. We bless you, Father. We thank you for a new merit of your grace. Well, we're going to get what we may not deserve. I tell you, you're so loving. We just bless you, honor you, glorify you, and thank you. We praise you for who you are. Help us not to take you for granted. Help us not to take your mercy and your grace for granted. Thank you for helping us not to take it for granted that you woke us up in a right state of mind this morning. We didn't wake up crazy and not knowing who we were or whose we were. We know we've been bought with a price. You paid an ultimate debt for us Yeshua, and we thank you. Can't praise you enough. We have the use and the activities of our limbs. Our senses are at work. We can see, smell, hear, taste, and feel. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, we just ask you to forgive us right now. If there's anything we said or done that was wrong, that was out of your will and your way, we ask for your forgiveness today. We need a fresh start today, for this is a brand new day. We just thank you, Father. We just want to take the time to even thank you for continuing to provide for us everything that we have need of. You said we wouldn't want for anything. Our trust is in you, and we thank you by your grace. Yes, we didn't wake up this morning laying on a cardboard box looking up at the stars unless we had the choice to camp out. We thank you that we didn't wake up homeless, is what I'm saying. We thank you. I know I thank you, Father, that you're still yet providing this roof over my head. You're providing the roof over each and every one of our heads. Help us to continue to thank you and praise you for that. Sometimes we may not have all the things that we want. You said we wouldn't want for anything, though. All the necessary needs that pertain to this life, you provide them, and we give you praise for that. You even give us the spiritual needs, which is far more greater and much more important that we need. Our relationship and growing up in you is what it's all about. It's all about our King and his kingdom. We thank you this morning, Heavenly Father. And right now, as we ask for your guidance, in the help of your Holy Spirit, as we speak your word to the listening ears of the people who have come ready and desirable to be encouraged and be to grow up in you. Father, thank you. We welcome you to take over this place. That word I always use, infiltrate this time in your presence. For such a time as this, we pray this prayer in the name of Yeshua. Amen, amen. And to you, Father, be all glory. I'm just grateful to be here this morning, and I'm so glad you're with me this morning. I just had a question I wanted to ask. Sometimes we start out with a question. Can or can't you stand still? Can or can't you stand still? Guess what? I'm going to answer that question for you. I believe you can. You can stand still. Yes, you can stand still and wait and see the salvation of our Elohim. Praise Jehovah. I believe that if you hadn't been standing still, I don't think you'd be here today. You've been standing still over and over and over again. And I'm just grateful to that this morning. I'm grateful to the Most High King, because he gave me that question last night as I kind of was just looking through and just meditating on some scriptures, and I kept hearing that word can, but I didn't know what that related to. And as I lay in the bed, I heard him say can, and I'd already kind of got some scriptures, I thought, but then he gave me some more when he woke me up this morning. I tell you, our Creator, Elohim, he is a bad daddy, and I mean that in a good way. He is so good when he speaks to us, when we get quiet before him in his presence. He speaks to us. Sometimes we can be so busy throughout the week and have a lot going on, and we get still at moments, but we don't stay still long enough. But then he asked this question, can or can you stand still? Can you just be still for a moment? Can you get quiet in my presence? I want to talk to you. You're always talking to me when you're walking around and going about your day. You're always talking to me. But I want to know, can you be still? And you know, as I was looking over some scriptures, a lot of times when it came to that word can, and that's what it means, even the word that means dunamai, dunamai, dunamai. to be able to have power. To be able to have power. I tell you, we need to have power, whether by virtue of one's own ability and resources or of a state of mind, through a favorable circumstance or by permission of law or custom, to be able to do something, to be capable, strong, and powerful. That's what that word can means in the Greek. And I am just grateful to the Father, because he even lets us know that we can do all things in Yeshua Messiah, because he gives us the strength to do what we need to do. But then when I was looking at a lot of questions that were asked about can, I'm telling you, that little word, three-letter word, is filled with some explosive possibilities when you just think about it. Powerful affirmations. But a lot of questions, a lot of times when it was asked, the answer would be no. Because I even thought, even when I looked in the scriptures in the book of Luke, let's go to the book of Luke. Luke 6, 39. And that passage of scripture says, and he spake a parable unto them, this is Yeshua, can the blind lead the blind? Think about that. Can a blind person lead another blind person? No. That answer is no. If a blind person, shall they both fall into the ditch? If there's a hole and two blind people trying to lead one another, even if they have a walking stick, if there's a hole in the middle and they're hitting the sides from each side, I was just kind of visualizing this. The blind can't lead the blind. Why was Yeshua saying that? He was talking to the disciples because he was talking to them about judging and not being judged, and not judging others. Though we do judge unto righteousness, because we want to help our brothers and we want our brothers and our sisters, our fellow brethren, to be on the right page, you know, to come up. You know, we have to help one another. Iron sharpens iron, and that's going to always be. We have to help each other. We can't see our brother overtaken in a fault, and we don't want to try to help restore him. We just got to make sure we're in the right place to help him out. That's why we gotta get this word in us, so we can get ourselves straight to help somebody else. We talked about that a little bit in the introduction. I'm telling you. But Yeshua was saying this for a reason. He's letting the disciples know you gotta keep your eyes open. We gotta have spiritual eyes to see. See, if I'm trying to walk around and I don't know what I'm doing in the realm of the spirit, we're walking in the spirit, so we won't fulfill the lust of this flesh. We talked about that too in the introduction. The blind can't lead the blind. They both gonna fall in the ditch. They both gonna be in a mess. Spiritually blind, if you're spiritually blind, you can't help nobody else. You can't even help yourself. But the blind, the bottom line is, the answer is no. The blind can't lead the blind. You're both going to fall in a ditch. We need Yeshua and his example to help us. And see, we're not above. Even that next passage, Luke 6:40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. In other words, when we become mature, when we grow up. I'm glad you're here. See, I want to grow up. I don't want to stay the same. Father is calling us up. Because we can grow up. That's why the question was asked, can you stand still? Can or can't you stand still? You can. We have the tools. We have been equipped. We just have to get this equipment in us. We have the power tools. That's what the can. We got to take that T off. Because we can do all things through Yeshua Messiah. If we keep our eyes on him, he will help us to make it through. Whatever you may be dealing right now, it may seem like it's about to overtake you, but the scripture lets us know we will not be overtaken. I don't care what comes, floods, water, storms, we will not be overtaken when our trust is in our source.
Who's our source? We talk about it all the time. Our source is Elohim, Yeshua Messiah, as we're trusting and following the pattern of our Savior. That's who we're trusting. He promised to give us all things. And I don't want to stay there. Let's keep it moving. I just wanted to bring that in. But the answer to that was no. But that lets us know it can be a yes. That's why we have to get equipped. Another question came out in the book of John. Let us go there. The book of John. Let us go there. John, the 10th chapter. We get there right quick. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jehovah. The 10th chapter, and we're going to read. Now, I may back up sometimes because a lot of times I don't like to break into scripture without giving a little bit of some history so we can know what was going on and why it was being said or stated. But here, John 10, the 21st verse. Yes. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? You know what was going on here? Yeshua was he had created miracles. And who was running their mouth? You know who was? Them Pharisees, them doubters. They always had something to say. But we know who the good shepherd was. The good shepherd of the sheep, Yeshua Messiah. Watch it over the flock. I had a dream the other night. And I kept going into the dream. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes you're dreaming a dream. And you try to come out of that dream. You just keep going back to it. I kept saying, Father, why you keep taking me into this dream? I was awake asking him, you keep taking me back. I don't want to go into that. Are you giving me this? What's going on? I think it was might have been a warning. And I'm going to back up to John 10:10 right now. Because as I was scrolling here, my finger hit that passage. And that was the word the Father spoke to me as I was dreaming that dream. Because there was a thief trying to steal. He was right there in my face. He was trying to... He was right in my presence, never seen him before, didn't know the person. And every time I would wake up, I would go right back to sleep and see that person again. Didn't know a name. I made a phone call to somebody in one of the dreams. And I asked, what is this person? He said, that's not the person who's supposed to be there. The person who's supposed to be there, and this person was a black man. Now, I don't have no agenda to why that was there. But he said, no, he's white. The person who's supposed to be coming is a white man. I was like, Father, what was that? It has no respect of person. He didn't give me a name. But the scripture that came to me was John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I didn't even go to this passage. This was just the passage that came to me when I dreamt this night before last. It was Thursday night. It was Thursday night over into Friday morning. I come that they might have life. And they might have it more abundantly. I said, Father, you've given me abundance. I don't care what's around me trying to steal and take. It will not overtake because you gave me a life of abundance. You are the good shepherd. And even the leper, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. See, Yeshua Messiah gave his life for us. My. When we think about that in John 10:21, we know that when healings and manifestations are taking place or when he done and did what all he did, what his Father told him to do, when he did these things and the Jews had their little sayings and conversations amongst themselves, they said he was a devil. They called Yeshua a devil. And the question said, these are not the words of him that have a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? The answer to that question was no. A devil can't do that. They had to question him. All this was going on during a feast. A feast of celebration was going on during this time. But those they come to question Yeshua Messiah. But see, the point is, can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Can? That answer was no. But we're going to have a lot of yeses as well as we're going. Just thinking about that in the context of his writing. And then there's another one that came to me. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That was John, the first chapter. Let's back up. Let's back up. Who asked that question? Who asked that question? John 1:46. I believe that was Philip answering that question. No, Nathaniel was asking. Philip went to find Nathaniel. This was when the disciples were being chosen here. It was Andrew, if you go back up to the beginning, or almost the beginning, kind of in the middle of the passage of scripture. There was Andrew. There was Philip. I mean, Peter, Simon Peter. Then there was Philip. Philip was of Bethsaida in the 44th verse, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip went to find Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. But then Nathanael came back and said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? See, from what he had known, there was nothing good that could come out of Nazareth. Philip saith unto him, come and see. The answer was no. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. But he grabbed Nathanael. See, apparently they knew some good things about Nathanael. And even if you keep reading, Yeshua even said, he already saw. So that I'm going to keep on reading on this. Yeshua saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. You don't have any evil in you. That's why he was picked. Isn't this something? Yeshua already knew that Nathanael can. Even though Nathanael asked the question, can any good thing come out of come out of Nazareth? 48 verse. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? Yeshua answered and said unto him, before that Philip called you, when you was under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, or master, teacher, thou art the son of Elohim. Thou art the king of Israel. Yeshua answered and said unto him, because I said unto you, I saw you under the fig tree, believest you. You shall see greater things in these. See, Nathanael was already picked before he even knew nothing, before he even said nothing good could come out of Nazareth. But he was proven that quick. Isn't that something? Think about your own life when you think about where you've been and where you come from. That's one thing I won't forget where I came from. It helps me to stay rooted and grounded in where I am and where the Father has me now. Can any good thing come out of where I was born in San Francisco, California, but I was raised for the most part of my life in Gastonia? Can any good thing come from Gastonia? Yes. The Father brought me through. Been through some things. We think about that in your own personal life. Think about where you came from. Can any good thing come from where you are or where you came from? Yes, you came. And who's in you? The Holy Spirit. He's indwelling us. I tell you, this is just a blessing. This word encourages us to keep on moving. Because we know it. People may talk, oh, ain't nothing good in Gastonia. That's the gas house. I can only, now think about yourself, where you came from. But it's some good things that came from where you come from, too. You can talk about your own story, because you was a good thing that the Father bought out. And he's elevating you even now because you're desiring to be elevated in him. Not in ourselves, but in him. Mm. See, Yeshua can answer that same question. I saw you when you was out there in the club and getting your jam on. I saw you when you was out there, whatever it was you was doing. You was trying to fit in and couldn't. I tell you. Woo! He knows us. He sees us before we even see ourselves, especially in him. But now we're being rooted and grounded in the word. That's marvelous. That's wonderful. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of Elohim ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He let him know. He let Nathaniel know what he was going to see. He proved to him it's some good stuff that come out. The Messiah. He recognized who he was just because he knew that he was under that fig tree. He had already heard about him. That's how Philip would go get him. He went to find Nathaniel. But he was led, I'm sure, some kind of way by Yeshua. They knew to go get him. They knew about his character. And the Father knows about our character, what's really down on the inside of us. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jehovah. My. And then we're going to go to another passage of scripture. Now, we're still keeping it in the context of what this word can from the Greek, 14:10, dunamai, to be able. To have power. Though these answers here was no, in the end, they end up being some yeses. Because if we stay hooked up with Yeshua Messiah, we're going to be able to do greater things than even what he did. That's what he tells us. We can. Even greater we can do. Mm. There's that word, can do. James. Let's go to the book of James. Thank you, Father. What chapter did I write that down? Yes, James, the third chapter. Another question and the answer is no. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? How you gonna plant a fig tree and olives gonna come from fruit? The answer is no. You can't, and then it says either a vine feeds, so can no fountain both yield salt and fresh. See, this is talking about that water. That is talking about what we're producing from ourselves. Does a fountain, let's go back up. I wanted to ask that question with the can first, but let's back up. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. If it's bitter water coming from that fountain, that's what's going to be. Sometimes when you turn your water on, every now and again, this city water I know that we have, that I have here, and then the city water, sometimes when you turn it on, there's a little smell every now and again. Not all the time, but every now and again. I wouldn't want to taste that water. I hardly ever really drink my sink water. I don't drink it. If it gets drunk, it's boiled first in any kind of manner. If I cook with it, it gets boiled first. A hard boil before I even put any food in it, if I use it, to kill off any type of bacteria. But when you think about it, does the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Back up to the 10th verse. Out of the same mouth proceed a blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So what was happening here? Apparently, James was encouraging them because they was trying to speak one thing out of their mouth. That their tongue was jacked up. The tongue. They were speaking encouragement one minute, blessing one minute, and cursing the next. But this can't be. We cannot be doubled with our tongue. Even the scripture tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That includes us. If we double-minded, not staying single-minded, staying focused on what the Father is leading us to do, we will be double-tongued, trying to say bitter and sweet at the same mouth when we're supposed to be representatives of Yeshua Messiah, of our great high priest, our king. We are his representation. We represent the Most High. And as representations of him, we can't be double-tongued. We can't. Because, see, we know James talks about that tongue being an evil member. So it was a mess going on. You go back and read these passages of scriptures. Go back. I'm pulling out one passage. I went back a little bit. But if you go back even the more, use these and go back and read the entire scriptures, the entire chapter that was written. Though we know scriptures originally weren't written in chapters. These letters, if you read a letter today, it's a letter. It doesn't have chapters and verses. It's a straight letter. But we know man in the English had got in here and switched up this stuff and broke it down. There was no page in the Bible where you got an Old Testament, New Testament. It was just writing. How do we know? We didn't know the letters was going to be put in the Bible, but they were. But they were. All that they, and they were found that the only way they could be written was based off of what was written in the Old. So how you going to throw out the Old and just go by the New? There's no, you can't. Yeshua was talked about in the Old. He just came manifested in the somewhat they call New. They talked about in the letters. Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gave an account, but then the letters came to the different churches, to the different assemblies. But all that's for our learning as well. All this is for our learning, even today. That's why we have it. These letters were written in certain ones, like Corinth. It was written to the assembly of Corinth. It was written to those different assemblies for a reason. Paul was trying to help them line up. But see, that word still helps us. Okay, don't fall prey like the Corinthians did. Don't fall prey like the Thessalonians did, Thessalonica. These were written for our learning. These letters were written, though they were addressed to specific assemblies, we can still glean from them. Amen. Amen. We need this word to help us walk this journey. So I'm even thinking, and even as I was thinking about these particular four passages of scripture where the answer is no. Then Yeshua, I'm reminded of a passage of scripture in the book of Mark. So let's go to Mark. I tell you, this word, I write these down and just go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. That's why I always want him, his presence to infiltrate this time and this presence, in his presence. Mark, the 10th chapter. Let's go. I'm going to see. I'm going to go to that verse first. I'm going to tell you the verse in a minute. I already know which one it is. Let us start at just the 35th. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, coming to him saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do it for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would you that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in your glory. But Yeshua said unto them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Now that's powerful. He asked them, they wanted a seat. They wanted to have the first choice just because they was walking amongst him, James and John. Just because they was walking amongst him, they wanted to have the seat at the right and the left of him in glory. He said, wait a minute, let me ask you a question. You're trying to ask me a question of where you want to be. Who you think you are? Are you going to be able to endure? this cup that I'm taking on, this cup of death, this bloodshed that I'm going to have to endure, this ridicule, this mocking that I'm going to have to be baptized into death. Are you going to be able to have the drink of this cup? That's something to think about. And they should have said, yes, we can. See, we don't know what we're going to have to walk through in this life, on this journey. Will we be able to drink of the cup? Will we be able to endure? Yes, we can. Why? Because we have this word. It helps us. We have Yeshua, Messiah. We have his example. He endured it all. He could have come down. Even when he was up there, he could have commanded a legion of angels to come and pull him off of that tree that he was hung on. But he endured it for us, the world. He endured it. I tell you, but he had to ask them the question. You remember, I remember there was a song. I don't remember where it came from. And I remember I used to hear it all the time. I tried to look it up. And I ain't had time. Tried to look it up this morning. I ain't had time to find it. Anything we can do better. It was a commercial or something. So if there's anything that we can do in Yeshua, we can do it better. He said even greater things we would do. He even told Nathaniel, who I think also was Bartholomew, or however you say that name. He was also Bartholomew, the same person. It's the same person mentioned in Acts and another couple of passages of scripture. But he even told him what he was going to see and what he was going to witness. But then even when he left the disciples, and we are his followers today, the things that he did, greater things you can do, you will be able to do. He's given us the power. That's what that word can mean. Dunamai, to be able to have the power. He's given us the power to do. We can do different things that we didn't think we could. Different things we can walk through. We can stand up in. That's why that question, can or can't you stand still? Yes, you can. You can stand still. I believe you can. That was my answer to your question. I believe you can. I know you can. I have the assurance, according to this word, that you can. One thing about this word, it won't lie. It's going to always tell truth, because that's what it is. How do we go against truth? We can't. We can't. We have to always be on the same page of truth. We might not be able, as we look at these passages of scripture and see how Peter preached and see how Paul would pray and talk and try to correct and encourage to correct. We may not be able to tell it and do it like that, but we can always talk about the love of Yeshua. How he died to save us all. That's what he did. We can always talk about that if we don't have nothing else to talk about. But we got to know that. We can do that. That T has to be taken out of the letter, out of the word, because we can. We can do it before it's too late. And Yeshua wants to know he can count on us. And I know and I believe that he can. And then one passage of scripture that I will always hear. You always hear this. But I just wanted to bring it out and it's clear. And it's back in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Amos. Now Amos, he just recognized him as a herdsman and as a man of Elohim. He was a man of the Most High. That's powerful. So I'm going to start at Amos 3. Hear this, the third chapter, the first verse. Hear this word that Jehovah has spoken against you. Talking, oh, children of Israel. We know what Israel had a history of, being disobedient against the whole family, which I bought up from the land of Egypt. Now, see, this was against everybody that was bought out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Third verse, in the context of why it was written, can two walk together except they be agreed? What does that mean? See, the children of Israel, talking about these passages written right before, were so disobedient, they couldn't get in agreement with the commandments of what the Father was giving. Unless we come in agreement with what the Father is saying, according to his word, we're not going to be in agreement with him. We won't walk with him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. One can't be going one way and going the other. Can we serve two masters? No. You're going to love one, hate the other. The Father's word, this word is truth, and it's not going to change for any of us. We're going to either love what his word says, we're going to do what his word says, or we're not. Bottom line. Those who love me love my commandments. And his commandments are more than just the 10. There's so many different instructions that's been given to us that I'm learning. I'm unlearning and learning. Because I wasn't taught to keep the law, the Torah. I wasn't taught that. I was taught the tradition of man. That's what I was taught for many years. But that's why I say I feel like I've been born again. The learning. The Father's always given us opportunity to come up. He knows even before, just like he knew Nathaniel when he saw him under the fig tree. He knows the part of the journey. He knows where we're going to walk. He knows what we're going to walk through. He knows what it's going to take to get us where he's trying to get us. Coming up higher. And I was looking for a word. I had a tablet, a notebook during the pandemic. As I was laying in prayer, I remember I was laying face up on the floor. I wasn't face down. I was face up. I was seeking the face of the Father. So I had my face up looking towards the heavens. Though my ceiling was there. But my prostrate was before the Father. And I remember he wrote it, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, I'm calling my people up higher, to a higher standard. And those who don't, I need to find it because I want to say it just like he gave it to me. In other words, he was saying, those who don't, they're going to miss it and they're going to pay for it. They're going to suffer missing it. See, for such a time as this, I understand because now I understand even that book, the book of Esther. Why Father gave me this name? He had already given me this name. But then when I understand the book of Esther, do you know in that whole book, God was never mentioned. Elohim is never mentioned. When even they fasted, they did not fast unto the Father. They just fasted for Esther. I'm like, whoa. There was no prayer lifted up unto the Father in that entire book. But for such a time as this, the Father has me sharing the way he has me sharing. And I just want to share his truth. And I'm still learning it even the more. Though I've been on this path of faith for over, 40 years? of going back still. But a lot of, the majority of it, I was in disobedience. And his hand was still on my life. When I think about it, I tell you, when I think about it, words can express. It's hard to express the love that the Father has for us. He keeps us. He helps us endure over and over and over. Why? Because he knows we can. Ooh, thank you, Father. He knows we can. He gave me a whole story, but I'm looking at the time. And I don't think I have time to read the entire passage. But he gave me Exodus 14, the entire chapter. And that chapter is 31 verses. I'm going to attempt, but I don't know if we're going to get through. Because a lot of times he gives me something to say, I'll stop. I want him to be in control. I want him to infiltrate the space and the time. I'm just a vessel. And that's what we have to be, willing vessels to be used of the Father, even when we don't want to be. Because sometimes I say, okay, Father, what are you going to say? Because sometimes the way he deals with me, I want to have time to prepare and study for, like, but he doesn't do me that way. I hear different people saying, I studied this all week long. I'm like, okay, Father, you don't do me like that. He can give me something at the last minute. And I'm the type of person, I don't like to procrastinate. To me, it's like procrastination. But maybe that's his way of saying, I'm going to be in control of this. I don't know. I hadn't figured that out. It is what it is. But I love the Father anyway. Exodus 14, starting at the first verse. And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdal and the sea. Now some of these words I may not pronounce correctly. Over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Father sending Moses. And I will harden, he told Moses this, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. He's going to chase them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts. He's given Moses this up front, that the Egyptians may know that I am Jehovah. And they did so. So he's given Moses this word up front, letting him know what's going to take place. See, a lot of times the Father will give us a word up front. He will give us sometimes a dream, a warning, and he lets us know up front what's trying or what's about to try to take place. But he's letting us know in the end, we're going to win. That's what he let me know about that dream I had a few nights ago. I'm telling you, Father's always speaking. Now, it looked like that dream come from the enemy, but the Father gave me the word against what that dream was trying to do, what it was showing me, how the enemy was trying to steal, kill, and destroy. My. So here, let's go to the fifth verse. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? See, now Moses already knew this was going to take place. Ooh. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all of the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. Ooh, he had a lot of loot. And Jehovah hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel
And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. They went out strong with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued them. They went out ahead of time. They were gone. Pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and all his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pharaoh before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto Jehovah. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? No. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? They wanted to stay in bondage. See, they already thought they was camped out. They already thought they was captured. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. How many times has the Father instructed us to stand still? I've heard it over and over and over in my life. Stand still, he said, and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. See, sometimes when we're in a situation, and it, as we stated earlier, it seems like it's going to overtake us or anything that has anything to do with us, we have to stand still and see the salvation of the Father. Now, this was going to take place. Sometimes we are in today situations. I know I've been in some today situations. And I said, Father, I'm going to stand still and see your salvation. And he's come through every time. That's why I know we can stand still. Even in the past times we can look back and see where we did stand still. Well, why you think you can't stand still now? I know you can. I believe you can. We have this word to back us up. See, they was questioning Moses. Their mind went right back to bondage, where they had just come from, because the bondage followers was on them. All the 600 men and horses and all that loot that Pharaoh took with him to go after them. He realized, wait a minute, what's happened here? They're gone. They're my workers. We got to go bring them back. I can't let them go. Whew, the enemy don't want to let us go. He want to hold us bound. I don't care what might be binding you right now. Don't let it keep you. Don't let it hold you back. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to tell you, you can't. He wants you to keep that T on that word. You can't break free. You can't be delivered. Oh, yes, you can. The word says so. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That, I don't care what area of bondage there is. Freedom. That's what Yeshua came to do. He came to set those who are bound free. Came to set the captive free. That's what he came to do. Exodus 14:14. Jehovah shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. Stand still. Stand still. Stand still. There's another passage in the Psalm. What, Psalm 46? And what is that? Psalm 46 and 10? Be still and know that I am Jehovah. I am Elohim. That's who I am. Stand still. And when you look that word up,
Yatsav. That's how you say it in the Hebrew. To place, to set, to stand, set or station oneself, present oneself. A lot of times we have to just position. That's what he was telling them, to set their position yourself. Just be still. Take your stand. Stand with me. Believe what I'm telling you. That's what Moses is saying. Jehovah shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And Jehovah said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. See, the Father wants us to go forward, not looking back. Though we can't, I said it this earlier. I won't forget where I came from in an humble manner, but I'm not going, my mindset's not there. I had a conversation with my brother yesterday. You know, we was poor coming up. Do I still have that poor mentality? No. I serve the King of Kings. He owns all the gold, the silver, his, the cattle on a thousand hills are his. All that's his. So what he says is for me is mine. I want everything he got for me while I'm here on this earth. I don't want the stuff to have me, but he said I could have stuff. I'm going to get what he's got for me. See, the poor mindset mentality, I don't no longer have, but I do remember where I came from. But I'm moving forward in Jehovah. All right, 16th verse. But lift thou up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, we're very familiar, I'm sure, with this story. We've heard it. But when you really get into the meat and the bone, this is not really the meat and the bone. This is just a little surface of it. This is really a whole lot in this chapter. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh. But see, he's already told Moses what he's going to do. He's telling them again. He's going to do it. He's already told them he's going to harden their hearts. But still in the end, they were going to be overtaken. In other words, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am Jehovah. See, he's going to get himself some honor. He said, I'm going to overtake them. They shall know that I am Jehovah when I have gotten upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the angel of Elohim, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Isn't that powerful? You see how our Father fights for, he fought for them, he's still fighting for us today. He blinds, he calls that cloud to in that camp of Israel, was a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians, but it was a cloud of light. Same cloud on the other side, it was light for the Israelites. Woof, that's awesome, that's power. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Jehovah caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. I tell you, that's something to visualize. The whole night, long enough for the Israelites to get through, that strong wind, that east wind, all that night. See, I never read it like that. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall. They didn't even get a drench. You know how when it starts drizzling before the downpour and the little speckles get on you, you're going to feel them? They didn't even get a little speckle drop on there. That's how our almighty, powerful Elohim held back those waters. They were a wall of protection. From the sea unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, watch, Jehovah looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And it took off their chariot wheels. That fire burnt them up, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for Jehovah fighteth for them against. See, people need to recognize who's fighting. Yes, people, because the enemy uses people to come against you. Us, he uses people. They need to see who's, I said, Father, show them who you are. Show them who you are on my behalf. I serve the Most High. I talk like that to my dad. When I see something is going crazy or cray-cray or whatever you want to call it, and I know it's not of Elohim, oh yeah, right here, they recognize who was fighting for the Israelites. And Jehovah said, the 26th verse, unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And Jehovah overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not as so much as one of them. Woo! But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus Jehovah saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And just think, they was questioning Moses, wanting to go back to bondage. I don't want to go back to no kind of bondage. When the Father brings you out of something, you better stay out. You better stay out. Don't you choose to go back. I don't care what it might look like. He still got our back. He's fighting, got our left and our right. Top and our bottom. Look here, he had the left and the right. The top and the bottom. Didn't no water come over their head. Didn't no water go under their feet. He had them. He got us too. I know he got me. Oh, yes. Praise you, Jehovah. And Israel saw that great work which Jehovah did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared Jehovah and believed Jehovah and his servant Moses. At this moment, they did. We know later on they still were hard-hearted and stiff-necked people. We don't want to forget what Jehovah does for us, what he has done, and what he's going to continue to do. We have to stay in this thing. I tell you, we have to stay in agreement with what his word says. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? We have to be in agreement with what the word says. Amos instructed that, but we got to keep it in the context of how, why it was written. I tell you, I'm just looking over my notes to see what I'm missing here, if I missed anything. Oh, yes. Let's go to the book of Samuel. First Samuel. We got a few minutes, huh? Got a few minutes. Back up. Did I mark that passage? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm going to go to First Samuel. 16. believe. I'm trying to get there. In a minute. I'm get there in a minute. Samuel 16. Why am I had a tag. Hold on. Gonna get there, First Samuel 16. And let's start at the first verse. And Jehovah said unto Samuel, how long would I mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And Jehovah said, take an heifer with you and say, I am come to sacrifice to Jehovah. We're asking the same question. You know, Samuel, if you know of the history of Samuel and how his mother, Hananiah, prayed unto the Father because her womb was shut. Hannah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How her womb was shut. And though she was vexed, and even Peninnah, or however you say her name, she would vex her because they both were married to the same man. They both were having children, and she was having children. But Hannah kept praying. Though she was vexed over and over by Peninnah, she was vexed over and over. She kept, even before they would go before the temple, she would have another child. Hannah wouldn't have anything. But then when the father opened up her womb, as she prayed for him to, her first seed, she gave birth to four more after him. Every time she gave a seed, because I'm telling you what, Jehovah, how good he is and how he will fight for us. Because she went through what she went through, but because she kept going before Elohim, because she kept going to Jehovah, she kept praying to him. Every time she gave birth to a Peninnah, had 10 children. Every birth of the first four births of Hannah, two of her children, Peninnah's children, would die because of what she did. The Father's fighting for us. I don't care what it looks like. I keep telling you, here is too many examples in the Word. In this, especially in the book, in the Old Covenant, which was all that was written there, that was all we had. But when you think about it, Peninnah, she had, until she got down to the last two, Hannah went and prayed and interceded for Peninnah. And those last two children of hers, the Father gave to Hannah. Those last two were saved because of her prayers. You tell me the Father doesn't hear our prayers. Peninnah was jealous of Hannah because she was loved. Elkanah, I think the husband's name was Elkanah. She was the first wife, but she couldn't bear any children at first. She was barren. But Peninnah, because of what she did to one of the father's servants, what he caused to happen to her. Sad story, but true. Our Father hasn't changed. People need to mind how they mess with father's people, how they even put their mouth on them. But I just had to bring that out. He wanted to know, but he asked a question. Samuel, who was that first one who Hannah gave back up unto the Father. She gave him back to the Father. Dedicated him to the Father. That's what she did. Dedicated him back to Elohim. And now he was a spokesperson. He was taking reign here. Saul was exiting out. And Jehovah said, quit mourning over him. It's time for you to move forward to go pick a king. And we know who that king was. David. I tell you, we know the story. The lineage, have it led up. Just think of a woman who couldn't give birth. Her womb was barren. Gave birth to someone who had to go pick the king. And I tell you, this the way the Father lines things up in our lives, we don't know where he's going to take us. But we got to trust him because we can. And that's what we should be doing. He asked, how can I go? We may have asked that question too. How? You go in his might and in his power. He leads our every step. He's our way maker. He is the leader. He should be. That's why we trust him. Then my mind even went to the scriptures in the Psalms. When you think about the scriptures and the Psalms, how the Psalms just go into worship and goes into a praise. And my mind went to Psalms, I think it was Psalms 56. Psalms 56. And that fourth verse said, in Elohim I will praise his word. In Elohim I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And in that 11th verse, in Elohim have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. It doesn't matter what a person comes against you with their words and says, or how they try to come at you any kind of way, because the enemy needs a vessel, just like the Father needs a vessel to use. But when our trust is in our source, Elohim, the Almighty, we don't have to fear and be afraid of what man think they can do. He's got our back. Look what he did for the children of Israel. They came to honor at that time great respect in him and in Moses, because they had lost it at first. When they was out there, they was looking at where they was in the midst of what was going on, and they saw Egyptians coming after them. They wanted to go back. What you bring us out here for? To kill us. To die. At least they had graves. They could have buried us if we died there. What? I don't want to go back to no kind of bondage. Keep me free, Father. Free me even the more in your truth. Because why? He can. He will. So we can and we will get freed. I was thinking, we have no choice of who we were when we were birthed into this earth. He already knew us, just like he knew Nathan. Another passage of scripture went to my mind when I thought about that. I was like, okay. And then I thought about in the book of Jeremiah, and we're closing out here. I wasn't sure if I was going to even get finished today through these passages of scriptures. I had just different things written down. Was it Jeremiah? I think it was the 13th chapter. Yeah. 13th chapter. And these were the Israelites being in captivity. And I'm going to go to that first verse. It says, thus, Jeremiah 13:1, thus saith Jehovah unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle and put it in my loins and put it not in water. Jeremiah was following some instructions. Take a girdle and go bury it. He told him where to go bury. He commanded him. This is what happened in these first part of the verses. He went and buried. Then he told him to go back and get it. And he said that. And he said, now this that girdle is proper for nothing. It rotted in the dirt. He said that's the same thing. He said, thus saith Jehovah, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah. This is the 9th verse. But you can read those first verse down to the 8th, talking about that girdle. He said that same thing when I told you to go bury it, go back and get it, and how it was no good. That's the same thing. I'm going to mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. They will be good for nothing. They will be good for nothing. 12th verse, therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word, thus saith Jehovah Elohim of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of the land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the peace, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. See, that's what was taking place. And he told them all of these things. And then he got down to that 23rd verse. You can read all that in between. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? No. That question is no. We can't change who we are. We can't change how we were born. But we can still be who the Father called us to be. The only way we're going to know to do that, we're going to have to get in his presence. He already said we can do exceedingly. He would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think. But he said we can do greater things than Yeshua Messiah did. He's our example. It says, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. So see, even if those who weren't keeping the commandments, that's what all this was about here. You can read all that, Jeremiah. He was sent there to prophets to tell them this. You can't change that, but you can change doing good, regardless of you being accustomed to doing bad. When we learn and you learn of the commands that's been given to us, the instructions, when Yeshua came, he came to give the instructions of his Father. And his instructions have not changed. We can do the instructions of the Father. But if we don't want to get in here and learn what his instructions are, we got a problem. We got a problem. If we know to do better, we need to be doing better. It is no... I like how Papa said it yesterday, the free will of man. A lot of times we say man has a free will. Yeah, free will to do what you want to do when you're doing your own thing. And that's what they were doing. The Israelites kept doing it over and over, doing their own thing. They didn't want to do what it took to line up. And we don't want to be like that. We want to continuously do what the Father's commanded us to do. And I ask that, why? Because we can. We can stand still continuously and see his salvation over and over and over again. I thank him for his word today. I pray that you were encouraged and blessed, and that this word will continue to take you on into deeper depths and higher heights in him. I'm going to speak his blessing over you as we close out this broadcast for this week. May Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Jehovah lift up his countenance. He's got her upon you and give you peace. I pray this blessing until we return again, Father willing, on next week. Shalom, shalom, shalom.